שלום, אנחנו לומדים את נושא.
Hello, we are studying the deficiency for the greatness of the Creator. We're reading selected passages from the sources, and we're going to continue from excerpt number 11. You can send questions on Kab.tv or Sfiva Tova, and selected questions will be asked here during the lesson. Excerpt number 11 from Baal Salam Shamati 47, in the place where you find his greatness. In the place where you find his greatness, there you find his humbleness. It means that one who is always in true dvekut, adhesion, sees that the Creator lowers himself, meaning the Creator is present in the low places. One does not know what to do. And this is why it is written, who sits on high, who looks down on heaven and on earth. A person sees the greatness of the Creator, and then who looks down, meaning he lowers the heaven to the earth. The advice that is given to this is to think that if his desire is from the Creator, we have nothing greater than that. As it is written, he raises the poor out of the litter. First, one must see that he has a lack. If he does not, he should pray for it. Why does one not have it? Because the reason he does not have a lack is due to the diminution of awareness. Hence, in every mitzvah, in every commandment, one must pray, why does he not have awareness that he is not keeping the mitzvah in wholeness? In other words, the will to receive covers so he will not see the truth. And if he would see that he is in such a lowly state, he would certainly not want to be in that state. Instead, one should exert in one's work every time until he comes to repentance. As it is written, he brings down the netherworld and raises up. This means that when the Creator wants the wicked one to repent, he makes the netherworld so low for him that the wicked one himself does not want to be so. Hence, one needs to pray pleadingly that the Creator will show him the truth by adding to him the light of the Torah.
במקום שאתה רואה גדלותו, שם אתה מוצא ענוותנותו. פירוש.
Again, in the place where you find his greatness, there you find his humbleness. It means that one who is always in true dvekut, in true adhesion, sees that the Creator lowers himself, meaning the Creator is present in the low places. And one does not know what to do. And this is why it is written, who sits on high, who looks down on heaven and earth. A person sees the greatness of the Creator, and then who looks down, meaning he lowers the heaven to the earth. The advice that is given to this is to think that if his desire is from the Creator, we have nothing greater than that. As it is written, he raises the poor out of the litter. First, one must see that he has a lack. If he does not, he should pray for it. Why does one not have it? The reason he does not have a lack is due to the diminution of awareness. Hence, in every mitzvah, in every commandment, one must pray. Why does he not have awareness for not keeping the mitzvah in wholeness? In other words, the will to receive covers it, so he will not see the truth. If he would see that he is in such a lowly state, he would certainly not want to be in that state. Instead, one should exert in one's work every time until he comes to repentance. As it is written, he brings down to the netherworld and he raises up. This means that when the Creator wants the wicked one to repent, he makes the netherworld so low for him that the wicked one himself does not want to be so. Hence, one needs to pray pleadingly that the Creator will show him the truth by adding to him the light of the Torah.
How can we depict ourselves that all of those states that are dignified in our eyes are truly the worst possible states in the eyes of the Creator? How can we ask to see the truth, that everything that now is unimportant, despicable in our eyes, is actually honored and spiritual? How will we uplift in our group, well, each one in his ten, the matter of humbleness, to accept every state, specifically as much as it is unpleasant and it harms our pride, our ego, to accept it in the right way, that is, with joy and desirably. As much as we feel the state is unpleasant, to understand that it is unpleasant to my ego, and apparently, in the right way, if I were corrected, I would be happy about it. So, go ahead. You will start talking and it will become more and more clear. Give examples that the things that are low, despicable in our eyes, how we should elevate them in our eyes and realize that these are really spirituality. Well, let's say that I long to achieve something, to gain, spiritually, of course, and to the contrary. That's not spirituality, it's not the right longing. The right longing, the spiritual one, is that I actually don't want these achievements other than humbleness and subjugation, and not to want any greatness and no achievements. Go ahead.
Rav, how would I accustom myself to the fact that if I'm in constant deficiency, it's good. I'm happy to have a deficiency constantly. I need to just ensure this deficiency will be bigger and higher, more exalted, more. And this deficiency is something I develop. I try to make this deficiency my fulfillment. That it itself will be my fulfillment. Go ahead. How would I develop in me the constant deficiency, meaning to have a deficiency constantly, but for it to grow in quantity and quality and become fulfillment by itself.
We will be reading from letter 19 by Bala Sulam. At the time of the preparation, the grace and beauty seem to be the essence of the perfection, after which one longs and desires. However, at the time of the correction, when the land will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, then I have seen an upside-down world, because only the fear and the longing, they are the essence of the perfection that one desires. And it is felt that during the time of the preparation, they were lying to themselves.
We spoke about it for the last few days. It's not the love that fills a person, but the yearning for the love, the yearning for who he likes. That's what fills him, that's what gives him pleasure, that he has that sensation, since there's no fulfillment, there's no egoistic fulfillment, that I receive it, rather I yearn. That's what is spirituality, that is called above reason, that's what it's called in order to bestow. The kli, the vessel, is a different kind of vessel. Specifically, the yearning fills a person, and that's the main thing. So, just as we spoke about love in these past few days, that the yearning for my beloved is what fills me, what brings me joy, and I need to grow that. And we see that in this world, it's clear to us that when we yearn for something, it fills us much more than when we already meet. And then it fills us, and then we see that it's completely not like anything I imagined, expected. Why? Because the nature of the vessel and the fulfillments does not work in this way. The true fulfillment, the constant, eternal fulfillment is from yearning and not from practical fulfillment. Where the will to receive is not designed to be filled except in order to use it to develop above it a yearning for bestowal. Is that clear? Talk about it. This is truly the building of the spiritual vessel on top of the corporeal one. He also a special alien like them.
Rav, how from this we can understand that Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, is never cancelled, and above it we develop vessels of bestowal. The will to receive always remains empty. However, we develop above it a vessel of bestowal. Go ahead. Out from between your speaking. Our kelim.
Rav, so if the will to receive is called, or rather is under the restriction, and we need to now build a different attitude, a different attitude to the Creator, to the host, and what does it mean? What is the Rosh of the Potsuf, and what is the Goof of the Potsuf? Please. Which is already restricted.
Rav, questions? Well, nice, none. So, throughout the day, we try to always hold ourselves above the ordinary vessel, the will to receive, and to always be in the spiritual vessel. Okay. Yes.
Rav, what's the difference between the lighting the Creator and yearning to the light the Creator?
It's a nice question. Contentment to the Creator. He gets it. We need to believe that he gets it from our yearning to give him contentment. More than that, we can't do. We have nothing with which to give contentment, but only by longing.
So, in the end, what does a Kabbalist attain in the end?
Was he attain?
Yeah, attain.
In the end, he attains his degree of equivalence with the Creator. As much as he yearns for the Creator, to that extent he discovers that the Creator yearns for him. And this mutual yearning is what he attains.
Privately, or individually, how... How do I distinguish between doing and yearning? In the ten, it's something individual, no?
I don't understand.
It's happening.
Practically.
Practically.
Okay. Practically. It's all in the sensation. Practically means in the feeling.
I'm asking for you, I'm doing many actions, but Rav says the important thing is to yearn. I need to be just in my room. I can stay at home and just yearn. For them, for their greatness that they attain.
We are in the world of action, and so we have to carry our actions. There is no thought without an action that is helpful. We have to carry out actions.
What I'm asking, Rav, is can we explain, I understand, on the one hand, that yearning is the kli, but we constantly say that we want to give contentment to the Creator, contentment to the Creator.
Yes.
And here Rav is saying, no, yearning is enough.
Yes. Longing is the kli. That I want to do, I want to give, I want to reach it. That is the magnitude of the kli. The ordinary kli is not filled up. The will to receive in itself, we say, it is great, it is infinite. This is all in degrees that are not of meters, kilograms, etc. These are in degrees of intensity that is felt with respect to the one who is in it. In truth, the will to receive was created only with that feeling that it exists so that something can be built above it. But it in itself, I don't know how to say it, but it is only as A small degree, just as a small degree.
What does that mean, Rav, when, that the first restriction is never cancelled?
It's not cancelled. This means that the will to receive that wants to fill itself up will never receive fulfillment. Ever. Only that it wants to receive fulfillment inside of it, this is called klipa, shell. And this is why, because it has 5 degrees of yud, coarseness, there are 5 degrees of klipot, shells.
Ken.
Yes.
If the entire spiritual kli is in the yearning and constantly above reason, above the will to receive, suddenly it's not clear what is the goof of the patsuf.
That's nice, but this is what I asked. I asked about that, because of course the goof of the patsuf is not that will to receive, b'chinat daled. Because it is forbidden for us to fill it up. Rather, that Bechinat Dalet, the fourth phase, if you say that it is the goof of the Pertzuf, then what is it filled up with?
That's a question.
That's nice, yeah?
No, because Rosh is clear. You can understand it. It's the intention to bestow reflected light above the will to receive, seemingly. What is goof?
I don't know. Think about it, at least until tomorrow. I'm not going to say. Here, we need to break our head and our heart and think. Otherwise, we will constantly be talking this way. Rosh, goof. So, it's not clear. So, you know, if I do a square, that's the Rosh, another square, that's the goof.
This excerpt, in his humbleness, humility, will discover his greatness. How can you understand it? He writes so much there.
When we attain the degree of humbleness, the degree of subjugation, by that we attain the greatness. It is impossible to explain it before we come close to it.
Where do we attain the measure of humbleness?
We will discover that place. I've been talking about it for a few days now. You didn't quite hear me. Today you started feeling already that there's something here. We'll move forward a few more days.
It's not the world that we see.
No, it has nothing to do with our world. These are purely spiritual discernments, pure discernments that are not related to our world. In our world, in our psychology, in our feeling, there is no such thing. Therefore, it always disappears, and we can't detect it, and again, we have to search for it with candles. It has to clarify bit by bit what can we do. This is our way. All right? Kiev.
Hello, Rav. Dear Rav, 15 minutes ago, you said that during the day, we need to be not in our corporeal vessels, but to try to be in our spiritual vessels. I understand that there's this moment where, let's say, a prayer for the friends, you feel the friend's deficiency and not yours. And in such moments, is this the meaning of being in the spiritual vessel?
I also asked before the lesson, during the preparation, do I see in the friends, in my friends, all kinds of qualities that I'm envious of, and that when I feel the envy, it fills me up. How can it be that envy fulfills? I want to get rid of it. To the contrary, I instinctively always want to justify myself and say, no, it's not important, whatever he has. My will to receive is not willing to remain in a minus, that there is something that is more than it, that is the opposite of it, that stings it, etc. I want the opposite. I want to feel that in my friends there are many, many achievements, good discernments, nice qualities, spiritual ones specifically. And I am happy about it. What am I happy of about? That it pains me in such a masochistic manner, that it's in my friends, that then I can get from them their deficiencies, their achievements as my deficiencies, is the fact that I feel that pain, it is actually the feeling of my new kli, the right will to receive. That actually in that will to receive, I use it. And from it, I build my spiritual parsuf. See, there are things here that come and go. They're not so clear. They're elusive. It's very good. But they're there. We will advance in that. Well, that's enough for today. Let's move on to the preface.